Go ahead and have a seat if you like. Well, we're thankful to have Melanie with us and explain a little bit of where Servants Anonymous is at. Servants Anonymous, you've been around here for a long time. You know that it's been a mission that we have been a part of and tried to support for a good number of years now. We're very thankful for the ministry. And I'd just like to invite Melanie to come up now. And just remember, be a global wonder if you're online. And don't forget to stay around after service. All right, Melanie.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's great to be here. I've actually come from Calgary, and my name is Melanie Michaud, and I am the Alberta Ambassador for the SA Foundation. But I'm not only that. I'm also had the privilege of being able to be a stay-at-home mom. My kids are actually of the age now, though, where I can't really claim that as my claim to fame anymore. I have two young adult kids that are 19 and 21 years old. But I was blessed to be able to stay at home with them, but I was also blessed to be able to use my gifts and my talents and my desires and my where my heart was at to be able to work and actually volunteer with the SA Foundation. So as the SA Foundation Alberta Ambassador, I get the privilege of going all over Alberta, not so much in the last 20 months. This is actually my first major trip in the last 20 months. Speaking and talking to people about the SA Foundation and also the reason the SA Foundation exists. And the SA Foundation is a global nonprofit organization that provides long-term programs, housing, recovery, development programs for women and children that are able to escape the effects of human trafficking and sexual exploitation. Now, that's a big, long word. And how on earth, or a big, long thing of the SA Foundation, how on earth does a stay-at-home mom from Calgary, Alberta, get involved in the SA Foundation? Good question. I'm very glad you asked. I have not been in the part of the world where I have had to deal with poverty or abuse or have had any kind of inclination or understanding of trafficking until I watched a movie of all things. It was called Taken. And in that movie, it was about two young girls that were traveling around Europe, and they end up being taken by an organized criminal organization that ends up bringing them into a sex trafficking ring to sell them, to sell their bodies, to prostitute these women out. And I had been a young girl that had traveled Europe, and I looked at this movie and I thought, I think I was at that very bus stop that those girls were, or that train station. And it made me wonder, was this Hollywood just blowing it up into this big dramatic thing, or was this something that actually happens in our world today? So I went searching, and I don't know why, but God placed that in my heart as I could not be the person that looked away from this huge injustice. Because as I started looking into what sexual exploitation was and human trafficking was, I started to learn things like the average age that a young girl enters into prostitution in Canada and around the world is actually 13 years of age. How many at 13, that's what you wanted to be when you grew up? She is not choosing that. As I learned more and more about sexual exploitation, I learned that there were young kids in brothels found in Cambodia as young as 5 years old. I learned that there are 12-year-old girls who are turning tricks in hotel rooms in my neighborhood and making it home in time for supper because their boyfriends had, you know, kind of did the bait and switch. I had learned that all of these horrific things that were happening in our world today wasn't just a big city problem. It wasn't just something that happened over there in poorer countries like in Cambodia and Nepal. It was something happening right here in my city of Calgary, and it's happening right here in your city of Grand Prairie. I asked God, what can I do? This problem is overwhelming. It's a $150 billion industry a year, the sale of human bodies for the purposes of sexual exploitation. What is a stay-at-home mom to do? You are probably sitting here too thinking, well, this is a huge issue. I don't know if I fully understand it. Maybe some of you have known quite a bit about it because your church has been such a faithful supporter of the SA Foundation. Maybe some of you are hearing this for the first time and thinking, I didn't realize this still happens. I speak at many churches and people come up to me and say, this isn't happening in my small town. I know it isn't. It's so good that this is not as much of a problem anymore because we don't see it on the streets. But the issue is that it's still happening. So for some of you here, maybe you are well versed in the issue of human trafficking and sexual exploitation. For some of you, maybe you are completely disgusted by what you have just heard. And I hope that you are. I wondered what I could do. And I asked God what I could do because I had two little kids at home at the time. And I thought, I even thought about maybe I could just go downtown and find some of these women and like bring them food or something. And I couldn't figure out what to do until I went to, my sister-in-law invited me to a presentation that was happening at her church, and it was actually a Global Wonders presentation and sale. And I went there, and God said, that is what you can do. And I went straight to the Alberta ambassador of the SA Foundation at the time and said, I want to be a part of it. I don't care. I can sell jewelry. The ironic thing is I'm not a girly girl and I'm not really into jewelry, but I knew I could sell jewelry and be able to help the women in the SA Foundation. It hurt my heart to hear these stories, and it might hurt your heart to hear these stories. And you might be angry, and you might be in disbelief, and you might actually wonder, what the heck is going on in our world? I invite you to kind of sit in that. Don't brush it away. It's uncomfortable. This is a horrible topic. So why on earth, on the first Sunday of Advent, are we talking about sexual exploitation or human trafficking? Well, because the first Sunday of Advent happens to be the Sunday of Hope. So it is very relevant that we talk about the work of the SA Foundation today on our first Sunday of Advent, because it is through the SA Foundation that God is providing hope and a future to women and children that have been able to escape the sex trade, have been able to escape the bondage of prostitution. And so, it is very appropriate for us to talk about that. The kind of one of the theme verses for the SA Foundation is in Isaiah 58, verse 6. Isaiah 61, and we're going to read verses 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. That is the reason why the SA Foundation exists. And the SA Foundation exists because a woman named Dominique, who maybe some of you have met, I'm not sure, heard the call to protect my girls. She moved from France and came to Calgary in the early 80s, I believe, and she was working and volunteering at a safe house. She became a Christian in Calgary and was going to church one day, and she heard an audible voice from the Lord saying, "Protect my girls." That safe house ended up losing all of its funding, and instead of the girls being put back onto the streets, she brought them all into her apartment, and the SA Foundation was born. She followed God's leading. She had no formal training. She trusted God that he was going to provide her with everything she needed. She read books and studied and did a lot of trial and error, as she says, in that first few years. And the SA Foundation was born where she provided this hope for these women that exploitation was all that they had known. When you're when the average age of entry into prostitution in Canada is 13 years of age, you can understand that most of our girls that have come into our program have not finished any schooling. They have not completed junior high, let alone high school. They have never actually held down a normal job because they have never had the opportunity to do so. So the SAA Foundation was formed, and we, that house, that safe house in Calgary that was first started is actually still running. They are completely independent now. But the foundation was formed because Dominique was doing something miraculous, because God had provided her with what she needed to do, the work that she needed to do, and people were hearing about it. And she was getting requests saying, what are you doing? How is it? Why is this working? How come your girls aren't returning to the streets, which is often what happens? It's very difficult for a young woman to fully recover if one ever does. And so the foundation, SA Foundation, was formed. And that foundation was formed because the program that she was offering the girls was highly effective, was divinely inspired, and was working to provide hope and a future for young women and their children who had been caught in the sex trade and really had no way out otherwise. Because you see, it's not just escaping from that reality. It's actually recovering and moving on. And so the SA Foundation is built on five R's. We've got the first four are there, and I'm going to talk to you about those, all these, by explaining to you what happens in our Nepal program. The first one is refuge. Every single one of us needs a place to belong and to be safe. And so in every single one of the SA Foundation's programs, it is very important that we provide a young woman with a beautiful house and room to be. And I'm going to talk, as I talk about these five R's, I want to explain a little bit about what happens in Nepal, because I was able to visit Nepal. It was lovely to be, and I was able to live with in our safe house there for a couple weeks and experience the great work that the SA Foundation is doing there. So in Nepal, if you can imagine, it's just this massive house that's four stories, because often there is multiple families living in houses if you can afford a house. And God has provided an amazing house for us. And on the bottom floor, there are three bedrooms. And normally, we would say for a woman in our programs, we would want them to have their own room that they can lock, because it's very important for them to have their own freedom, that they don't, they've never had the option of under, or they've never had the option that people can't just come in at any time into their rooms, if you can imagine. So when they come into our house, we want them to feel safe. They get their own room with a key, and they decide who comes into their room and who doesn't. In Nepal, however, as you can imagine, many of the families live together. Nepal lives, most of the families there live on less than $1 a day. It's one of the poorest countries in the world. And so often families live together all in the same room. So our girls do that too, because for them to live alone would just bring them back to the trauma of possibly being in a brothel where they would have been in, locked in a room and just people coming in. So in our house in Nepal, it's beautiful, and they have all these communal rooms in the basement where they live together as families. They have all of our house moms in all of our houses in the SA Foundation are volunteers. We call them live-in servants. SA is short for Servants Anonymous. And the reason we ask for volunteers to be in our safe houses is because the girls need to know that the safe moms or the moms that are there because they want to be there, because they love and care for them. They are not paid to be there. This is not their job. This is their calling. And so there's a safe house mom in Nepal too. And she is beautiful, and she is wonderful, and she helps and teaches the girls to cook. And you move up a level in the house, and there's offices there for some of the staff, and there's a big room, and when we went up to that room, we could hear the sounds of the women singing. And they were doing their morning devotions, which they do every morning. And the girls, the SA Foundation is a Christian organization and built on the foundations of God and God's love. And we always have devotions in the morning, but it's never to proselytize the girls. It's just to acknowledge. And you'll see in a video later on that often the girls do understand and become and have an understanding of who God is. But as I was walking up to the house, you could hear the girls singing, and it was all unaccompanied. There was no music except for their voices and their clapping and some kids laughing because all of their children are there too, and they are singing. And there is hope just permeating out of that room. So then you go up another level, and that's where we get into our restoration, which we're kind of getting into on the morning too. And restoration is the part where the women are receiving counseling. They're receiving mentoring. They are receiving medical needs. So for some of the girls in our program, the medical issues that they have are unbelievable. One young girl came into our program in Nepal. She's the youngest girl that's ever been in our program. She was 11 years old, and she came to our program because she was pregnant. She was pregnant by her stepfather, and when the family found out she was pregnant, they thought she had been promiscuous and kicked her out of the house. So she came into the SA Foundation, and all of the girls there's about 22 girls at any given time, 22 to 25 girls, they enfolded her. They wrapped her in love, and they became her moms, and she had a lot of complications with her birth, but she was enfolded into a family where otherwise she would have been just kicked out on the streets with nowhere else to go. So we take care not only of their mental status, their physical status, we also are very much involved with their spiritual status. And the whole being, so this restoration is a holistic approach. It is so much more than just that 11-year-old girl now being out of harm. It's about restoring her mind, her faith in humanity, addressing her physical needs. She had a healthy little baby and a very lovely Christian family from Nepal who had been praying and praying for a young baby because they couldn't have one of their own, named her Precious and adopted her. And this little girl is now living with this family. And the 11-year-old, when I was there, was still dealing with some medical issues from her pregnancy. But she was in a school uniform and she was attending school like she should at 11 years old. And she had a community around her that was loving and supporting her. So there's a lot of counseling and group therapy and art therapy and you name it that goes on as part of the restoration. But we can't stop there. We have to get into reintegration. And this is where our Global Wonders products are such a beautiful thing, because not only do we have to take care of her whole being, we have to be able to provide her with the tools and the training and the job skills that she needs to be able to work and to be able to be an independent member of society. So our job skills training program includes our Global Wonders products of hope. And that is a related business of the SA Foundation, in which everything there is designed, handmade, processed by the women in our programs as part of their job skills training. So that's the third level in our house in Nepal. And if you walk into the room, you see trundle sewing machines everywhere. You know what I mean when I say trundle? Those old sewing machines, and I got to try them out. These women are whizzes at them. And a lot of the things that you will see in the fellowship hall over there has been made by the women on the trundle sewing machines as part of their reintegration and job skills training. There's a couple girls that have chosen to work full-time for Global Wonders. And they have been working in the Global Wonders production room for 10 years. There are other girls who, that is the stepping stone that they need to get to the next level of their job skills, to understand what it is that they can do. So we provide education, we provide sewing classes for the women in Nepal and for the women in our safe house in Vancouver. We provide computer classes for the women so that they can understand those things. And then, of course, we've got the Global Wonders, which is the jewelry making and the scarves, and you'll see all of it in the hall over there. And it gives us such an amazing platform. One, for the girls, it gives them confidence that they can make something beautiful. If you can imagine being someone who has been the commodity, who has been told that this is all you are worth it, this is the only reason you are worth it, is to be sold for the pleasure of other people, that you're not worth anything otherwise, to then to be brought into a place where you are able to make beautiful things that other people are going to want and treasure. And not only that, it's going to help you, as all of us get the opportunity to allow our experience to kind of form where we want to go, how we want to be in this world, what's our vocation going to be. It gives her a platform to do that. We have an audio tour where one of the girls is like, I hate sewing. I don't know why they make me do this sewing. And then another girl is like, I love sewing. It gives me something to do with my hands. I realize that that's the kind of work I like to do. And so the Global Wonders provides her with that platform to create, to make something beautiful. And in that, it also is restoring her soul, restoring her confidence, giving her job skills training. So for any of you that came to our sale yesterday and bought and purchased items, either for Christmas gifts or for sale or for someone else, know that that item that you bought represents that hope for a young woman. As she made that item, it took her one step further in her journey towards her future and away from exploitation. And so that's our reintegration program in Nepal. I got to hear so many of the girls' stories, and I got to hear how far they had come from one young woman who had been in the Red Lake District, and the staff at SA Foundation had been talking to her and trying to get her to come to the house. And she finally did come to the house, and she was angry, and she had some addictions, and they almost kicked her out of the house because she just was so angry, and rightfully so. And then what happened one day is they gave her kind of options, like, you've got to keep going, we've given you warnings. And then they asked her to write on a piece of paper the things that she was most ashamed about and why she was so angry. And then they wrote on that piece of paper the reasons that they were upset with her and thinking about asking her to leave the home. And they wrote those things down. And the program director there, or the mentor, the lady that was working with her and counseling with her, said, I want to take that piece of paper. And she ripped it up in front of this lady. She ripped it up and she said, this is what Jesus has done for me and all of my sins. And this is what Jesus can do for you. And from that moment on, it was like something clicked in her. And she understood that she didn't need to live in the past of her hurts and in the past of her anger. And she still struggles with it. She said to me, she says, I still get so angry that I can punch holes in walls. But I know that if I do that, Jesus still loves me. And she now has a beautiful little girl. And she is one of the women that is in, her life has been rewritten. She is one of the women that is in a little house on the side of our Nepal place, which is our second stage house. So we have transitions that the women can work towards so that they can kind of transition to more and more freedom and independence. And she is now one of the mentors in our program. One of the people, you'll see her name on a lot of items in the hall over there, who is helping. She enveloped that little 11-year-old girl that came in to the program. And her life has been rewritten. And I'm happy to say that she is actually now starting to rewrite her relationship with her family. And that is a huge thing, because in Nepal, if there is any hint of sexual promiscuity or that you have brought shame on the family, then that most of the girls have been kicked out of their families, never to see them again. A life has been rewritten, and that is the hope and the future that the SA Foundation can provide for women that are caught in exploitation. Now, I know you might remember that I said there's 5 R's. And we've only got 4 up there. So the last R is replication. And replication for us means many of the women and children, or women in our program, have children. And SA Foundation is one of the few organizations in the world that takes women and their children, or women who are pregnant, into our program. We actually provide daycare for all of the kids, for all of the girls in our program, so that they can go to their education, their counseling classes, and their job skills training, and their kids are taken care of. So replication is the last R in the program of the SA Foundation. And it's twofold. One is, it means that this history of abuse or exploitation is not replicated in the life of her child. Dominique and Steve tell of stories where they're in brothels in Kathmandu or in India, where there are generations of women, where grandmothers and daughters and granddaughters are all in the same brothel. And as they are walking away from the brothel, they are trying to give her the little baby that has just been born to the youngest daughter and saying, take her out of here. For the SA Foundation, we believe it's very important that we replicate this in the life of the child so that the cycle of exploitation has been broken. And so we replicate that in the life of the child. And I don't know if that's the next slide. Sorry, Courtney, I'm going off a little bit on script here. About 6,000 women and children and 2,000 children have been impacted by the programs of the SA Foundation. So that also means those generations of those women have been impacted, and it has not been replicated in that way. Replication also happens in a second way, and that is in starting new programs around the world. You heard me say that Dominique started in Calgary with her first safe house. We are now in 8 countries around the world. We are just started a new program in Italy that is going to be actually offering up. They have a beautiful house and set up, and they've gone through the assessment program. It's called ALBA, which means sunshine, and they will be accepting young women into their program as early as January. And they're actually accepting in Italy and in Europe in that area. Most of the women that get trafficked into Europe come from either Africa or from the Middle East, and so they actually have a couple of girls from Nigeria that are going to be in their safe house there. They're going to go down to Athens, because in Greece there are many women from Nigeria that are trafficked into brothels in Greece, and they're going to learn some training there. And we are hoping, and we are actually working with people in Nigeria to start a program in Nigeria as well, hopefully in the next few years. It's a long process. The SA Foundation gets requests almost on a monthly basis to help to start new programs. And the foundation does that. They train and they work with organizations to be able to start the program that includes all of those 5 R's. Because we've learned over our 30 plus years of providing hope and future for women coming out of exploitation that it requires all of those. And we also have God, who does so much of the work for us. So I understand. I'm going to show a story of hope, it's called. It's an actual video where you get to hear about a young woman's experience in our house in Vancouver. And we'll play that video in a couple of minutes here. But I understand that the Church of Christ in Grand Prairie was instrumental in starting our program in Nepal. I was not a part of the SA Foundation at that time. But Steve Lau, if some of you know him possibly, said that the Nepali program, much of the funding to start that program came from this church. And I would be remiss to not thank you ecstatically for that and for your continued faithful support of the SA Foundation as they continue to grow. I don't know if you remember, a few years ago, Nepal had that horrible earthquake, and we actually lost our safe house in that earthquake. But within 48 hours, God had provided the new house that we have now, which is unheard of. And we are now able to house up to 25 women in our program there, plus their children. And so that has been a huge, huge blessing. In Nepal, about 8,000 to 12,000 girls are trafficked across the border into India every year with a promise of a good job in a carpet factory or as a nanny, and then they end up being sold into brothels. So the need is huge. Kathmandu is becoming a sex tourism destination, and the red light district is growing. And so Nepal has this dream of building even bigger and more houses, and they're working towards that by actually, they have a house that they're hoping to rent out to tourists to get money so that they can also use it as a safe house, or be able to build a safe house. So that is what is happening. It's a bit of a Coles Notes version, just looking at the time here, of what is happening in the SA Foundation. And we are thankful for the support that your church has given us. This is the hope that you are providing. We're going to watch a short video and then I'll close.
I was sad, lonely, depressed, and I needed help. I had been in and out of recovery houses for years, battling with my traumas and addictions. In the past, I would go into a recovery program to get back on my feet, but I would rush out of there so I could have my independence and what I thought was my freedom back. I thought I could make it on my own. Only each time I tried, I ended up overwhelmed and would fall back into the pit of hopelessness and darkness that had brought me there to begin with. You see, nothing had really changed within me. When I got pregnant, it really shocked me. But it was a miracle I needed to finally get the help to do it differently this time. There was this deep desire that I wanted my baby to experience a different upbringing, different from what I had gone through. During a visit to the hospital, I was told about the SA Foundation, where women who are seeking help and safety from the dangers and effects of sex trafficking and addiction can go. They work with moms and would even help women who were pregnant.